This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. In Washington, at least a half a dozen people have been killed by raging wildfires on the Hawaiian island of Maui, and the damage is described as enormous.
Flames had wiped out hundreds of homes and businesses and Hawaiian history. Lahaina, a mecca for tourists, used to be the capital of Hawaii's ancient kingdom and a major fishing port.
This is such a cool old town. That's really tough to think about.
Witnesses say Lahaina lies in scorched ruins.
Correspondent Mark Strassman. FBI agents have shot and killed a Utah man in his 70s after an early morning confrontation. That followed posted threats of violence against President Biden and also people involved with the criminal investigations of former President Trump.
They were there because Robertson had been making social media threats to kill or inflict bodily harm on President Joe Biden during his visit to Utah. One reads, quote, "I hear Biden is coming to Utah, digging out my old ghillie suit and cleaning the dust off the M24 sniper rifle."
KUTV's Amanda Gilbert. It's been a growing problem since the COVID pandemic as airplanes started filling up again and started having problems keeping flights smooth and on schedule.
From fighting to attacking flight attendants and sexually assaulting female passengers, the skies are anything but friendly these days. The FAA has just referred another 22 cases of unruly passengers to the FBI for possible criminal charges. The agency says it can seek fines of up to $37,000 against badly behaved passengers, but it has no law enforcement authority.
Correspondent Allison Keyes. Next Monday is the new deadline for veterans who might have been exposed to toxic burn pits in America's recent wars to apply for PACT Act health benefits.
When I got diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, I was completely blindsided.
Those toxic burn pits linked to several cancers. Some baseball news tonight from Philadelphia.
In only his second start with his new team, Michael Lorenzen of the Phillies throws a no-hitter against the Washington Nationals. The call on NBC Sports.
Makes the catch, and Michael Lorenzen has thrown the 14th no-hitter in Philadelphia Phillies history.
The Phillies beat the Nationals 7-0. The 31-year-old Lorenzen was acquired by Philly at the trade deadline from the Detroit Tigers. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
And there was also a bit of baseball news at Boston's Fenway Park, where a line drive crashed through a red light near the base of the notorious Green Monster Wall. It got stuck inside the broken light for a ground rule double. Think your floor is dusty? Well, guess what? Turns out much of the International Space Station is dustier, and the dust up there can be more toxic, too. AAA's national gas average, 383. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get 4 lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get 4 lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
Some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin?
Something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 53. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs around 80. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, 57, cloudy. Upper 70s, Friday, with a chance for scattered storms. Low 80s, a blend of clouds and sun, Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 63.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition, a happy hour. I got my little buddy Dominic right here with me in Madison WMDX Studios.
Good to see you, Curdy.
Yeah, you as well.
Yeah.
I can feel the energy.
Yes.
Just putting us in the same room, it's shaking up a couple of fighting fish. Just boom. Oh, don't they
shaking up a couple of Bud Lights and opening them up, baby.
Psh.
That's how we do it.
I never drank the Bud Light, but that's a different topic for a different day. And we are going to the callers in just a moment at 844-967-2789. Some have good advice to offer to the Wisconsin GOP who are bemoaning their lack of, let's just say, credibility with the young kids.
Trying to figure out how to tap into that Ute vote, those megas in the GOP.
Just find the right spin because they're not changing policies. So.
Well, that would be, of course, the most logical answer.
We'll get your great ideas at 844-967-2789. We're right here near the UW-Madison campus on beautiful State Street, Tom. But we got a little breaking news. And there's some breaking reporting at the New York Times. And the headline, previously secret memo laid out strategy for Trump to overturn Biden's win. And they kind of lay out the criminality part in this one, Dom. And I just wanted to read one quote from the reporting here before we turn our attention to our callers. The false elector scheme, we've talked about it quite a bit here, Dom. And the hero, or perhaps the villain, if you will, of this article, Dom, Cheese Bro.
Cheese Bro, don't be a cheese bro.
We've talked about him quite frequently. Sent the email off to Jim Troupas, talk about him quite a bit as well.
Who's Jim Troupas?
Well, he's the Trump lawyer that led the Trump recall efforts here in the state of Wisconsin, filed litigation to try and throw out like 200,000 votes, including those of him and his wife, Troupas and his wife.
His own votes.
His own vote.
Yeah.
But Cheese Bro, back in November, had proposed this alternative elector scheme. That was back in November. But that scheme, when it got to the hands of Rudy Giuliani, became like a plan, and it was executed in like 7 different states. And Cheese Bro at one point writes a little memo, and this memo is brought to light through the reporting at the New York Times for the very first time. And we'll get to the memo a little later. But here's one quote from this article that kind of stood out to me, Dom. The false elector scheme was perhaps the most sprawling of Mr. Trump's various efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. It involved lawyers working on his campaign's behalf across seven states. Dozens of electors willing to claim that Mr. Trump, not Mr. Biden, had won their states, in open resistance from some of those potential electors that the plan could be illegal or even, and here's a quote, Dom, appear treasonous.
Yeah, weird how that would seem.
It does have that appearance to me.
It certainly does.
In the end, it became the cornerstone of the indictment against Mr. Trump. This January 6th memo, or pardon me, this scheme, this Cheesebro memo that basically outlines the criminality to come. So we'll get to that in just a minute, but let's get to the phones first. 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Well, I don't have any suggestions for the Republicans other than they could possibly start by repudiating the two attempted coups, at least that we know of, against the American government. But that isn't really why I called in. I was listening to you guys talking earlier about the Supreme Court. And every news person and most commentators that I've heard refer to it now as a liberal or progressive majority on the court. I would say no. I would say these are lawmakers who intend to follow the law, liberal or progressive. Whether they are politically or not, that's irrelevant. But they intend to follow the law, unlike the previous court that, for instance, ignored the constitutional veto of our governor to implement the gerrymander. They ignored the state law to allow, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a guy on the DNR board, allow him to stay
Fred Preen.
Years. Yeah, thank you. Years after he was should have been out of office, and so hopefully the current court will at least follow the Constitution and the state law.
Jack, I think you might have misspoken very slightly. You said they're there to make the laws. That's not the role of the judiciary, obviously. I think a modest misspeak, but I don't want people to be confused per se. This is a liberal court. The court has turned. It was conservative. Now it's quote-unquote liberal. Hagedorn might be some sort of judicial independent, but as near as I can tell, the four on the court now, I would call them liberals. And I think they view the world through the prism that government is there to help the people, and the courts are there to protect the people. And I think that's part of their judicial philosophy. Now, if it's a poorly written lawsuit, yeah, I think they have the courage to say this suit does not have the merits to win the arguments of the day. But in terms of the issues, the ideological issues, no, Jack, this is a lefty court. And it's for lefties. Plus, I would call Hagedorn mostly a judicial independent, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, when the rubber hits the road, he votes conservative with the block most often.
Is that what makes, I mean, you know, if Hagedorn can be considered independent judicially, then don't you think that the quote-unquote liberals could also be independent? I mean,
well, certainly they can
on
be.
What basis? You know,
well,
see,
I'll have to see some rulings. If they start ruling against what I would say is the lefty point of view, the abortion ban, be a prime example. If they voted against gerrymandering, if they sent it back and said, well, this doesn't have standing, they found some technicality to not answer the greater question, which is really what a court's supposed to do. It's supposed to act with restraint. If it's possible to not have to blow up the whole law, if you can just say, well, you know, we can decide this little portion and clarify, that's what they're supposed to do. Now, the conservatives grabbed up some of these cases before they were even ripe. They just grabbed them because they wanted to roll out the outcome that justified their end.
Before the court changed over.
But I look at the example of like Hagedorn on the ruling, the Tony Evers vetoed the maps, right? The gerrymandered maps of the Republicans. And they sued to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And Hagedorn said, well, you know, go draw new maps, lease change maps. And in fact, found that Tony's maps were lease change, I believe, if my memory serves. Ran up to the U.S. Supreme Court. They sent it back and said, find a differing outcome. And Hagedorn basically ordered...
Flipped his vote.
Well, I can't blame Hagedorn for that per se. I don't know yet how Jill Karofsky is going to rule on anything. But I sure as hell know that she ran as a liberal. She wasn't running as a judicial independent.
Protasiewicz, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Janet Protasiewicz did. And I want her to serve as a liberal. It's time to clean up some of these messes.
But does and I guess this is ultimately the question. If you look at a matter of law, how should it change if you look at it from a liberal, quote-unquote, point of view or a, quote-unquote, conservative point of view?
I would say this. I could understand the justification used by the conservative court to uphold Act 10 when they did. I thought the law was constructed and the lawsuit was constructed in a way where I understood the logic. I knew what they were going to rule before they ruled, but in that case, it was at least, to my perception, rational and logical how they ruled on that. Now, I think a liberal court would have taken a different answer. But some of these rulings, man, they're not even founded in law. I mean, consider this. Three of the conservatives that still serve on this court, well, I guess one's a former, Patience Rogensack.
Your buddy.
I met her at dinner one night. She knew me. I knew her as well. But Dom, they were willing to overturn the will of the people of the state of Wisconsin. That was clearly a political activity when they were only a 4-3, right? I mean, yep. Hagedorn, the supposed independent, voted not to overrule the voters of the state of Wisconsin and toss the election to Donald Trump. But at least three of them were willing to consider that as an outcome. That goes beyond, you know, judicial independence, let's just say. But I can't see that the other three, or four now, liberals would have thrown that to Joe Biden. If Joe Biden didn't win the state of Wisconsin, I cannot imagine these liberals would say, yeah, but we want him to win, so we'll find a way.
Here's what Hagedorn said in that particular case that saved democracy, at least in Wisconsin, perhaps in the country. Something far more fundamental than the winner of Wisconsin's electoral votes is implicated in this case. At stake, in some measure, is faith in our system of free and fair elections, a feature central to the enduring strength of our constitutional republic. It can be easy to blithely move on to the next case with a petition so obviously lacking, but this is sobering. The relief being sought by the petitioners is the most dramatic invocation of judicial power I have ever seen.
But three were down.
Three were down.
Ziegler, Rogensack, and the bad Bradley. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We're going to take many more of your phone calls. Want to hear from you today. Maybe you can help put some lipstick on that pig that is the Wisconsin GOP there.
What is the question?
They're having a little crisis.
What are we looking
identity
for?
Down.
What do we want? We want answers. You want the truth?
They can't handle the truth, Tom.
Because, of course, the truth is, if Republicans really want to make inroads to young voters, you need to do the opposite of everything you've been doing for the last 10 years. Just do that. That's the truth.
Just put oldies on the radio. Give me your dad's Buick to take to the homecoming dance. They'll be fine, those kids. They don't need the modern conveniences. Give him your flip phone. He'll be fine with that.
Flip phone. Rotary, baby.
Rotary flip phone? Come back.
844-967-2789. Taking more of your calls in the Happier Happy Hour.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going back to the lines at 844-967-2789. The question of the day. How does the GOP, how does MAGA make inroads to the youth vote? An article here in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today Points to Brian Schimming. He's the chairman of the Wisconsin GOP. And I don't know.
Like 70-ish.
I don't know if you knew this.
Maybe late 60s.
He's got a plan because he knows. He recognizes. He was a student body president before. So that's how he's going to reach out. And of course, Scott Walker, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, is the head of the Young Americas Foundation.
Didn't he run for student body president? Yeah. And the college paper at Marquette University said he was
unqualified?
It wasn't that he was unqualified. It was that he was a damn cheat. He had stolen their papers and him and his operatives had thrown them away. They're like more like corrupt bastard, I think was the headline. I'm not sure. I paraphrase.
But those are the leaders of the Wisconsin Republicans, and they are the ones who are going to set the stage to come up with the plan for outreach, to make inroads to the youth vote. We wonder, what do you think the Republicans should do? 844-967-2789.
James from North Dakota, welcome. Rather be a badger than a boy named Sue, James.
Hey, James.
Hey, what happened to James?
Hello, James. You're on.
I'm putting James back on hold. He got insulted by the North Dakota...
Yeah,
right. Trash talking.
Why are you talking trash right away, man?
Because he's from North Dakota, man. Wisco Paul, good Wisconsin boy. How you doing, Wisco?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Great show today. Hey, for off the subject a little bit, number one thing, maybe they could speak up against Trump and his death threats on people. I mean, that might help get some of the young people's votes. That's not a very good example. But
he's not currently threatening the young people with death, is he?
He's threatening anybody, man. Just,
COVID mostly just killed their grandparents.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, Jesus. Oh, man, Curdy.
I'm sorry, too soon?
Well, anyway, so the person that could maybe let him vote, I mean, that might be a step in the right direction. Maybe... fund the university system like it should be funded. Build the engineering department, Crudy, down there in Madison, future engineers. So I don't think there's any hope for the Republican Party getting the youth vote back.
Here's how they could steal the youth vote back, Paul.
Steal it back.
Here, they would just have to do
there you go.
I have an answer. Do a 180 and legalize marijuana. You would trick the young people into supporting the Republican Party. Short of that, you're dead.
But here's the problem, and I think we're going to get
maybe
this
Walker's
a lot.
New advocacy for lowering the drinking age to 18. Maybe drunk kids would vote Republican.
If the Republicans are not willing and or able to change their philosophies and their politics,
they are not and will not.
Okay, so we get suggestions like, hey, you know, fund the schools and basically what, embrace Democratic ideas. So that's the problem. Of course, if weed was legalized, I don't think that the kids would give the Republicans credit for it. If the schools were fully funded, I don't think the kids, those young adults that the Republicans want to make inroads with, would credit the GOP for that. These are issues that have been heralded and championed by progressives and Democrats. These are not Republican issues.
Mitt Romney flippy floppy, man. They just got to change their minds today. Robin Voss, smoke it if you got it. 844-967-2789. James from North Dakota. Chance number two. James, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello, James.
Hi there. I got a couple opinions, but... after this, I gotta go fuck my family.
All right, 844-967-2789. Jake from Brookfield, what are your thoughts today?
Hey, Jake.
Hello, Jake.
Frank.
Oh, you're on. Go ahead.
There's nothing the Republican Party can do to win young voters. Flat out, everything is born. It grows. And then it maintains itself for a little bit, and then it dies. It has a process of dying, but then it dies. There's only one way. There's a split in the Republican Party, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
Now, Jake, do you think that party could rebirth itself, rise like a phoenix from the ashes, and reconfigure itself? But I would suspect it would have to be not with Trump as the cult leader, but could you see... a Republican Party rebirthing as the Whigs, perhaps?
No, only Jesus, only the second coming of Jesus, then, maybe. But
oh, I'm sorry, Jake. Didn't mean to cut you short on your
He's Jesus already talk. Here, though, Jake, and he's taken the form of Donald Trump. If you don't believe me, just ask Donald Trump.
Dick from Madison. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Real quick, do you have a name for that beautiful new vessel you bought?
I'm considering the Jordan Love Boat.
How about, since it's a 76, the Bicentennial Dinghy? anyway, moving on. What they can do. Here's what I suggest.
Love
it's
boat.
About money, correct? Just show me way Robin Voss pilfered money from the COVID relief fund. You know, you too could do this. And how about, here's another one.
That was legal PPP money, the $300,000 plus that he took for his popcorn corporation.
You mean that socialist money that was given out during the pandemic?
It's not socialist when a Republican takes it.
Oh, okay.
But then, secondly, if you should aspire to elected office and win, you could be a has-been who should have never been, like Scott Walker, and go on to lead the Hitler Youth Corps for almost $1 million a year. Why wouldn't you want to be a Republican?
The Young Americas Foundation, Dick. And, you know, obviously he didn't get that job, in my humble opinion, because of his great, you know, executive abilities as governor of the Wisconsin. He got that job, I would surmise, and I don't have any proof of this, but I'm just guessing. It's a conduit, man. I mean, how is the Young Americas Foundation being funded? And were those funders benefited in any way, shape, or form by the, you know, activities of Scott Walker and his cronies here in the state of Wisconsin?
I just thought he had a lot of brown shirts. Come back with us. More of the happier, happy over.
He was very fond of that Ronald Reagan shirt.
The Sansalito Ronald Reagan fashion shirt. Thought about buying one myself. Come back, more Devils. 844-96-PARTY.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's not just about the barrels in construction. Highway projects are community investments. So do your part. Stay alert, eliminate distractions, and mind your speed. Every driver makes a difference. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 53. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs around 80. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, 57. Cloudy. Upper 70s. Friday, with a chance for scattered storms. Low 80s. A blend of clouds and sun. Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 63.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Hump Day Edition. People must be heading up to concerts on the square now. Quite busy here in State Street, Madison, Wisconsin. Got my little buddy with me in the WMDX Solidarity Realty Studios right here in Madison. And you can be a part of this big show. We got this shiny new visual presentation, Tom. If you haven't seen us in person, oh man, are we sexy.
Oh, let me tell you all about it.
Although less so if you see us in person. Better to imagine our sexiness on the radio and join us at 844-967-2789 before we turn to the reporting, Dom, of Maggie Haberman and others at the New York Times. This involves Wisconsin. Paul from Monona, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us, Paul?
Hey, Paul.
Hi. Hey, happy afternoon from fashionable Monona.
Nice. right on. Back at you, Paul.
I know we're all happy about the Ohio results.
Yes.
But I was listening to, you know, the ABC News snippets that play periodically throughout the day. It was interesting because, as I recall, they were summing it up as basically Ohio votes as to whether or not to lower the threshold for a constitutional amendment, which sounds like something completely different from what it was. And I think the fact that this was being reported on national media is disheartening. Because,
well, Paul, the good news is the voters in Ohio connected the dots. They knew what this was about.
I know, they did. But I heard that, I'm like, wait a minute, what did they say? And then they did it again, and I'm like, that's not okay. So anyway, yeah, I just thought I'd call in and, you know, celebrate with you, but also comment on that. That was a little disconcerting. So,
Paul, we're better than you. We're from Madison, man. Stay in Monona.
Come on.
Actually, Monona lovely. Has the lake there and all everything.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, appreciate it, Paul. Yes, facts matter. And it was a big deal. And for the Republicans in Ohio to throw this out there, because of course they know, like many other Republican states, that when the people actually let their will be done, abortion rights are going to be protected in Ohio come this next vote.
Dom,
how typical is it? I mean, and you talk about the topic of the day, the question of the day: how do Republicans make inroads with younger voters?
Uline money.
One thing
Dick Uihlein funded this anti-democracy effort in Ohio.
Here's what you don't do, and this happens, and we've had Dale Schultz here in the state of Wisconsin talk about this. When they run out of ideas, they mess with the machinations, right? What was this about? Well, this was a preemptive strike to stop the people from exercising their will by Republicans. They knew that this topic was a loser. They know the majority of Ohioans and the majority of people in this country want abortion's right protected for women. They know this. And they know they're going to lose when it comes down to it. So what do? They don't try to convince the young voters, hey, this is bad and this is why. Because they lose that argument because, of course, no exceptions for rape or incest. I mean, come on. We've had this conversation. It's a loser for the Republicans. They've been losing on it since Dobbs, and they're continuing to lose on it. But the answer is not to change the rules of the game.
Sure it is. That's the only way they win.
That's what their response is, but that is not a way to attract, you know, new voters.
But, Dom, on this very show yesterday, we talked about Tony Evers, governor of the state of Wisconsin, his proposal, special session, to fund child care in the state of Wisconsin.
Hundreds of millions of dollars for child care, $1 billion overall.
Wait, if we don't have abortion here in the state of Wisconsin, and presumably we have more babies, but Republicans aren't willing to support the child care efforts either. Well, you got teen moms that aren't going to be voting Republican either, right? You made them have the baby, but you won't support their efforts to go out and get a job.
No, and the other thing, personal responsibility. If we can't have, you know, birth control, because they're coming after that too, and you certainly can't have an abortion because, you know, God, well, then of course it's personal responsibility. No sex for you, no matter what. Hey, I mean, be like us. Be like Republicans. No sex for you.
Is that the problem? They don't get any? So they're trying to force the rest of us not to have a good time on Friday nights?
I mean, essentially, that's what they do.
Wednesday afternoons, Tuesday mornings.
Afternoon delights.
Whatever. Mark from SAC, welcome back, man. Always an afternoon delight to have you on the radio with us.
Hey, Mark.
And thanks, guys, and thanks to Paul for confirming what I thought I'd heard as well on what was going on in Ohio. They're actually increasing the requirements to put good and pass constitutional changes in Ohio.
Mark, I thought you meant Wisco Paul, who was obviously rolling with Mrs. Wisco Paul today. People heard her giggling in the background and even made comment like, who's Paul rolling with? That's Mrs. Wisco Paul.
And that was great. But I read here now from the Wisconsin Constitution, because I maintain the conservatives should support the Wisconsin Constitution. It should be the conservative view to support the Wisconsin Constitution, where it says for legislative districts, such districts to be bounded by county, precinct, town, or ward lines, to consist of contiguous and be as compact a form as practicable, is how the districts are supposed to be formed, and they certainly are not in many.
But you
many
know
cases.
They don't know at least two of the definitions of words in that sentence. isn't that a legal defense? I don't understand the language of the law.
Could you dumb it down for us, please?
It is not a legal defense. And Crude, I was going to say, make sure you have enough life jackets in your new boat, because you don't want to. They're just given the fatality total of people that have been drowning.
Well,
you know, in
boating
accidents.
Totally agree with boater safety, Mark, but I will point out we're on a no wake lake, so we don't, and we've got a little speedometer, although the speedometer on the boat's dead. We got the depth finder speedometer thing, the little fish finder. I won't let my son go over 4.5 miles an hour. I think we'd see trouble coming, Mark.
Well, you still got to have life jackets.
Oh,
on
we
the
have
boat.
Them. Okay. I'm just saying. Personally wearing one at the time.
Sure, but you know where they are?
Yeah, they're under the seat.
Okay, and you got an extra large, or you got the kids one? I mean, what one would you wear?
I haven't tried one on yet. My son, he found one that fit. He wore it all weekend. He was our designated boat driver.
Well done. Responsible.
844-967-2789. Oh, CJ, you could be next, but I'm waiting for more callers first.
844-967-2789.
Dom, seems like an opportunistic time to get to the reporting at the New York Times. Previously, secret memo laid out strategy for Trump to overturn Biden's win. Since I know you're listening, CJ, I'm going to give you a little fact lesson. The House January 6th committee's investigation did not uncover the memo whose existence first came to light in last week's indictment. So this is new news, CJ. I'm going to read it for you. Maggie Haberman, Charlie Savage, and Luke Broadwater at the Old Gray Lady, New York Times. A lawyer allied with President Donald Trump first laid out a plot to use false slates of electors, to subvert the 2020 election in a previously unknown internal campaign memo that prosecutors are portraying as a crucial link in how Trump's team's efforts evolved into a criminal conspiracy. Do you like the ring of that, CJ? The existence of the December 6, 2020 memo came to light in last week's indictment of Mr. Trump. That's what the judge called him, though its details remained unclear. But a copy obtained by the New York Times show for the first time that lawyer, wait for it, Kenneth Cheesebro, acknowledged from the start that he was proposing a bold, controversial strategy the Supreme Court likely would reject in the end. Reject meaning it'd be unconstitutional. But even if the plan did not ultimately pass legal muster at the highest level, Cheesebro argued that it would achieve two goals. It would focus attention on claims of voter fraud and, here's a quote, buy the Trump campaign more time to win litigation that would deprive Biden of electoral votes and or add to Trump's column. The memo had been a missing piece in the public record of how Mr. Trump's allies developed their strategy to overturn Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s victory. In mid-December, the false Trump electors could go through the motions of voting as if they had the authority to do so. Then on January 6, 2021, Vice President Mike Pence could unilaterally count those slates of votes rather than the official and certified ones for Mr. Biden. Somebody wrote down the criminal part, Dom. While the basic plan itself was already known, the document described by prosecutors as the, and here's the quote, Dom, the fraudulent elector memo.
Oh, it's not a bold, bold controversial memo?
It's the fraudulent elector memo in the indictment, Dom, and provides new details about how it originated and was discussed behind the scenes. Among those details is Cheesebro's proposed messaging, air quote, strategy to explain why pro-Trump electors were meeting in states where Mr. Biden was declared the winner. Yeah, like Wisconsin. Why would they meet when Biden won this state, Tom?
What's the plan, Crudy?
The campaign would present that step as a routine measure that is necessary to ensure, that's the quote, that the correct electoral slate could be counted by Congress if courts or legislators later concluded that Trump had actually won the states.
That's a routine measure. Happens all the time.
That was like the light beer version of this plan. And then it got a little more criminal. It was not the first time Cheesebro had raised the notion of creating alternative electors. Here's where Wisconsin comes in. In November, he had suggested doing so in Wisconsin, although for a different reason, to safeguard Mr. Trump's right in the case. He later won a court battle and was declared that state certified winner by January 6, as had happened with Hawaii in 1960. So that was the just-in-case plan he wrote in November, just in case Trump was vindicated in litigation. Well, he'd have these slate of electors that then could be his electors. And then it changed. But the indictment portrayed the December 6 memo as a sharp departure from that proposal, becoming what prosecutors say was a criminal plot to engineer, and here's a quote, Tom, a fake controversy that would derail the proper certification of Biden as president-elect.
I recognize what I suggest is a bold, controversial strategy, and that there are many reasons why it might not end up being executed on January 6th, Cheesebro wrote, but as long as it is one possible option to preserve it as a possibility, it is important that the Trump-Pence electors cast their electoral votes on December 14th. That was a quote. The New York Times goes on. 3 days later, Cheesebro drew up specific instructions to create fraudulent electors in multiple states in another memo whose existence, along with the one in November, was first reported by the Times last year. The House committee investigating the January 6 riots also cited them in its December report, but apparently did not learn of the December 6 memo. I believe that what can be achieved on January 6 is not simply to keep Biden below 270 electoral votes, Cheesebro wrote in the newly disclosed memo.
It seems feasible that the vote count can be conducted so that at no point will Trump be behind in the electoral count vote count unless and until Biden can obtain a favorable decision from the Supreme Court upholding the Electoral Count Act as constitutional or otherwise recognizing the power of Congress and not the president or of the Senate to count the votes.
You understand that's a game of optics, right? Never let Biden be ahead in the electoral vote count,
right,
by simply, refusing to acknowledge the real
electors.
Biden electors.
Instead, acknowledge the fraudulent electors. Cheese Brodoff's lawyer did not respond to questions for comment. A Trump spokesman did not respond to an email. The false elector scheme was perhaps the most sprawling of Trump's various efforts to overturn the election. Involved lawyers working on his campaign's behalf and across seven states, dozens of electors willing to claim that Mr. Trump, not Biden, had won the states, and open resistance from some of those potential electors that the plan could be illegal or even appeared treasonous. In the end, it became the cornerstone of the indictment against Mr. Trump. While another lawyer, Eastman, described co-conspirator number two in the indictment, became a key figure who championed the plan and worked more directly with Trump on it, Cheesebro was the architect. He was first enlisted by the Trump campaign in Wisconsin to help with a legal challenge to the results there.
Dominic, we're going to come back. We're going to tell more of the story of Wisconsin. We're going to take more of your phone calls, perhaps more good ideas for the Republican Party. You know, they're trying to win over the youth vote. Do you think creating false slates of electors and trying to pervert democracy, is that the way to win the kids over, or just sort of take control?
Just like Trump says, they're doing it for you. We're doing it for the children.
The kids don't know what's good for them.
Of course.
Sit there and shut up, kid. I'll tell you what's good for you as I steal your election from you. And by the way, if you vote again, we're going to steal your votes from you, too. We'll raise it to 21 or 25.
I'll just make it harder for you to vote.
Any means necessary. Come back. Call us. Any means necessary. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. Taking your calls at 844-967-2789. Then stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
And she joining us on this fine program tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Maggie Dawn going to hit us up at 5:30, and then I might stay over a little bit on her show as well. So always keep it locked here, your favorite civic media radio station.
Dominic, a little bit more of the New York Times reporting, at least in regards to the Wisconsin connection. Cheese Bro, who is described as co-conspirator number five in the indictment, but has not been charged by the special counsel, addressed the second memo to James Troupas.
Who's James Troupas, Crudy?
Dom, a lawyer who was assisting the Trump campaign's efforts to challenge Mr. Biden's victory in Wisconsin. Oh, was he? By the next day, the indictment said Cheese Bro's memo had reached Rudy Giuliani, Mr. Trump's personal lawyer. According to the indictment, Giuliani, who is referred to as co-conspirator number one, you're number one, Rudy, spoke with someone identified only as co-conspirator number six. I think we've determined that might be Boris Epstein. As he had done in the earlier memo, Cheesebro cited writings by a Harvard law professor, Lawrence Tribe, who completely said, I have been quoted out of context and you've used crap interpretations of the law here. So anyways, Cheesebro used Lawrence Tribe, who has decried all of the use of his prior text. What else? For one, Cheesebro quoted a clause from a law review article by Mr. Tribe about Bush v. Gore as support for the idea that the only legal deadline is January 6th. That was taken out of context, Mr. Tribe wrote, saying he was only narrowly discussing the specifics of Florida state law. Cheesebro, by contrast, made it sound as if he was putting forward a general proposition about the power of the states to do what they wish, regardless of the Electoral Count Act and the independent deadline set by Congress. Anyways, Dom, the gist of this reporting, the criminal part Cheeseboro basically laid out and said, hey, we know it's criminal. We know it's not going to ever work, but it's not really about the success of this plan. It's about making sure that Joe Biden never wins or leads in the Electoral College count. And if we can just throw it back to enough states, delay it for long enough, we can pervert democracy. And it's probably illegal.
But
let's do it.
That's a great. What did Andrew Hitt, the former chair of the Republican Party in Wisconsin, a false elector? He's like, this is terrible. This is going to fail. Where do I sign?
844-967-2789. Tom from Madison. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, speaking of horrible Republican policies that they'll lose the youth vote over, did you see the article about WPR, how we got their abortion in Wisconsin since 1849?
I have not read that yet, Tom. Share what you can in like a minute.
Okay, well, it's interesting because they said that immediately struck by the irony that people between 1849 and 58 had more rights to terminate a pregnancy than they do today. And actually, the 1849 abortion ban was only about killing an unborn quick child. That meant till you actually felt the child in your womb. It wasn't until 1858 that a guy named William Henry Brisbane changed that to what we have right now. So you go back, the laws back in 1849 were actually more liberal than they are now.
Wow.
Well, you know, the definitely originalists check, yeah, on the court, Tom, would say take us all the way back, you know, to Adam and Eve days.
Absolutely. But yeah, if you get a chance, look at WPR, How We Got Here, by Bridget Bowden and Evan Casey. I read that this morning and I was just blown away. It was great.
Tom, thanks for flagging that for us in the audience.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Dom's not doing the reading. Rico from Rock County. Welcome, Rico. What do you got for us, fella?
What's up, Rico?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I am never as happy as you are at 5:45 p.m., Rico.
Oh, wow. Let me answer your little questionnaire you got going on here. It's like, you know, hey, you know, what do these guys need to do? Well, you know, I hate to give you advice, but I will anyway, because I know you won't take it. Stop with the lying and the craziness and the hypocrisy and everything else that you're doing.
Rico, are you kidding me? If it weren't for the lying, they've got no policies at all. If they had to tell the truth about their agendas, they're not going to win any elections. They're not going to win a dog catcher race. Rico, lying is the only tool left in the box, fella.
But I want to tell you what, I don't know if you guys know this, but I've worked for the last 5 years exclusively in a little town called Whitewater, Wisconsin. Well, you know, part of the big old UW system, a little milder and a little calmer than the Madison.
Not as cool as La Crosse, but go ahead.
yeah, nowhere near that caliber. Really conservative anyway. I'll tell you what, the Republican wants a piece of advice. They're not going to like it because I am honest engine, as true as I can be. I'm telling you, and I do talk to these kids. 7 out of 10 of those kids up there going to school in Whitewater, if you ask them their political views, I guarantee you there's one name that comes out of 7 out of 10 of their mouths. And it ain't Biden and it ain't Trump. His name's Bernie Sanders. So, you know, whoever wants to align with Bernie's policies, I think, might reach the young kids. But good luck with that, guys. And, that's all I got.
Right. Thanks, Rico. Appreciate it.
Rico, I don't know if you know this, but Bernie Sanders is coming to Madison September 22nd. Our friends at the Capital Times are hosting Bernie for a little commentary. John Nichols and Bernie Sanders, I believe that's Friday, September 22nd. Look up Cap Times Idea Fest 2023 for tickets.
844-967-2789.
I wish there was time for one more caller.
There
today.
Is.
Is
CJ,
there time? I
there
don't know
is.
If there's time.
CJ, how would you suggest the GOP make inroads? What do they have to do to make inroads to the youth vote?
Well, they need to be like Santa Claus and do the student forgiveness program, because that's the big lie that has been given to Cameron But I can get why you guys would avoid the news of the day as this president, Commander Cut and Run, inches us closer to a nuclear war. Russia and China ships are now off Alaska's shoreline, just following the balloon's path. But you guys are okay with that. You're worried about things that are way down the road, although you guys do lie and cheat better than the Republicans.
Well, come on now, CJ. I would like for you to articulate specifically any lying or cheating that Kurti and I may have engaged in the last, I don't know, 20 minutes.
I thought it would pay better, the lying and the cheating.
Right. You're not doing it right, man. Damn it.
Bigger lies.
Bigger lies, more cheating.
I was elected president in 2020.
No, I was elected president. I am the president.
I am Trump. It's like Spartacus.
I am Spartacus. Folks, I am dumb.
Thank you for listening to the Hump Day Edition. Hope you had a happier happy hour. Stick around, Maggie Dawn. She'll make you happy. She's a smart lady. After that, the Empowered Caregivers with Liza Hellenbrand and the Rick Smith Show going nationwide. Keep it locked. Civic Media, that's what all the patriots do.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again, then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. On Hawaii's Maui Island, closed schools are serving as emergency shelters. The main airport's housing stranded travelers. Tourists are being asked to stay away as wind-driven wildfires devastate the island.
We thought we were okay, but then the wind came, gas stations blew up, everything caught fire by the brush, and then we just had to evacuate.
KGMB TV's Chelsea Davis spoke by phone to a resident who made it onto a boat.